Thanks for coming, everybody. And I'm going to start off actually just by telling a little story. This is another heretical tale, and the idea is that it's supposed to agitate a little bit. So if you feel that, that's okay. And the story goes that there was once, a long time ago, a journalist who was seeking refuge on a cold night, and he was knocking on doors and asking if he could find a place to stay for the evening, for it was cold and storming and he needed a place to stay. And after several no's, someone said, "Yes, come into my home. I would be happy to provide shelter and care for you." And so he stayed the night, and actually stayed a couple days. And then slowly there was kind of word that this visitor in that was staying in the village had been kicked out of another nearby village for speaking prophetically about things, and that they had kicked him out of town. And so the elders, the religious elders, got together and they said, "What should we do about this person who's now in our town? We don't want to be associated with this person, right? Maybe we could end up getting in trouble." And so they approached the person who was caring for this visitor and said, we think that you should turn him over to us and we'll take care of it. And we're probably going to have to ask him to get out of town." And the man said, or the woman, whoever was taking care of him, said, "No, it's my duty as someone connected to my faith to provide protection and shelter to this person. And no matter what they've done, that's my commitment. That's what I have been raised to do." And so the elders went back and got into their holy books, and they were trying to give reason to this person who was connected to their faith why they should turn the visitor over to them. And so they came back and had all of these various explanations that were backed up by holy text why they should the visitor should be turned over. And again, the person said, "No, I'm not gonna turn them over. My faith tells me I should provide care and love and refuge to this person." And so the religious elders were like, "Look, we got to really go to the source here." And they petitioned to God and said, "God, will you explain to this person that they need to turn this visitor over to us so that we all don't end up paying the price, that we could be hurt because we're harboring this person here in our village?" And God, went and said, "Well, they got a point. I think that maybe you should turn this person over to them." And still, the person said, "God, because of what you've taught me, because of how you have enfolded into my life, even to you I have to say no. Because my duty is to care for this person and to shelter them, especially if they're going to be oppressed by this." And with that, God said, with a smile, "I tried. And now the matter is truly resolved." And God went away. And that's the end of the story. What do you think about that story?
That's all. It's not good to argue with God. If God came to me and told me to do something, even though I had an experience kind of like that in my life, and I argued with them, it was the biggest mistake I ever made. So, I would strongly, it's good that she was good on her convictions, but I think arguing with God, if he said to jump, you should say, "How high?"
And what if I said in the story that God maybe knew that even if God said, "Don't do it," that the person was going to do it? And therefore, that's why God felt comfortable petitioning the person, because they knew they would be so strong in their convictions that they would say no, and that they and that God knew that that's how things would actually end up being resolved. Because the issue wasn't with perhaps the person, it was with the religious elders wanting the person to see that they were right. And can you see how it's a really interesting tale, and it draws out that kind of stuff. But that's just a pushback on it.
The story kind of reminded me of this Sunday's text, which is a Syrophoenician, well, it's a Canaanite woman. And it's a story where this woman comes to Jesus and says, "Heal my daughter," and she's Canaanite, which is not inside the Jewish people, and Jesus doesn't even respond to her, and she just keeps hounding, and Jesus says, "I didn't come for you. I came for the lost sheep of Israel." And she said, "Well, even the dogs eat the bread that the children drop," you know. And so she argues with Jesus about what Jesus is there to do. And he eventually caves, and this becomes the opening where Jesus' mission extends to the Gentiles. So anyway, it just kind of reminds me of that, with the arguing with God thing.
There's a really famous story in the Old Testament also that does this a little bit, and it's kind of in a really threatening way. Can you guys think of the story?
Wrestling with God.
There's a lot of wrestling with God, but who's that?
Arguing with God.
What's that?
At Peniel.
Say more.
Israel, who his name was changed to Israel because, I forget the name, Jacob or something.
Yeah,
and was wrestling with God. Israel means wrestling with God, and Peniel means before God, and they named a place near the Jordan River where there was a battle, you know. And they wrestled until Jacob hurt his hip or something.
Yeah. The one, thank you. The one
I'm thinking of, the Sodom and Gomorrah one, where Abraham, Lot, argues and says, "What if there's 40 people that are still righteous?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's 20? What if there's 10? What if there's 5?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Or the story of Ben. The mob comes and Ben turns out his daughter's, as rather than the angels or whatever, or something like that. And then, of course, after that, the prophet didn't turn the prophet out, and then, of course, all of Ben was wiped out, down to 100 men or something.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very similar to me, that type of...
So the one I'm thinking of is actually Abraham, right? And God's telling Abraham to kill his son, you know? It's like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. That's a, you know, and it's, I wish that the story would push even farther. The name of this tale is called The Orthodox Heretic. And the idea of the tale is to help us see that perhaps sometimes, and it's open for interpretation, so I invite you to interpret yourself, but I think perhaps sometimes you need to push up against the norm of things in order to stay true to things. And that's kind of what Orthodox heresy is all about. And the person who I find really important to me in my role as a theologian is Luther, because Luther went up against the dominant perspective of the church in order to provide freedom for folks to see that that perhaps the church had gone astray to what the gospel was all about, or what it meant to be understanding grace, and that we could read the Bible ourselves and interpret it, and that I think we forget that heresy is a big part of our tradition, and we can then allow ourselves to get comfortable with things and forget that actually our calling, in some ways, as people who find connection in Jesus or in Luther, is to allow ourselves to be a little heretical, so that we can be asking ourselves what is at the heart of all of this stuff. So that's what we're going to do today, and I'm going to let Amy kind of start us off, And I'm going to light candles, and the reason I do that is because with our community, these conversations, even if they're hard, even if we don't agree, are sacred. And a reminder that together we're holding very important things, things that are near and dear to us and to the way that we understand the world, that we should be mindful that this is a sacred and holy time to be together. So.
Okay, so my heart is pounding, and I actually I left, and I thought I would hide out in my room rather than come and say what was in my heart. And as to Anders' story, if the villagers want to kick me out of the village, don't worry, I'm leaving tomorrow morning on a boat, so it's all good. And the thing is, I just want you to know that I have a profound respect for each of you. And I do believe that we are connected as manifestations of Source, and that we are all good at the root, and that we are all yearning to have a connection with the Source, and that we all have our own paths to find that. Just so many years of being told to believe in a particular version of what Jesus is, and saying 3:16, John 3:16 over and over again, and being told that that was this one pathway, is to believe in Jesus as this particular being and the only begotten Son and the virgin birth, and none of that ever resonated with me. And again and again, I would go to Bible school and be told to invite Jesus into my heart, and I would do it again and again, thinking there must be something wrong with me, because it's not sticking. And I believe in these good messages of love, but there's something here that's just not resonating with me. And then finally, I realized when I was 14 and 15 that it wasn't that there was something wrong with me. It was just I just didn't believe it. And so hearing again and again, being here and choosing to be here and being asked to be here, I feel like is important. And hearing again and again people talk about Jesus Christ and Christ our Lord and God is a He and all these things, it's very challenging to me, because I guess what I would say is that I believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was a human being that was born into this world who yearned to have a connection with the Source, and there was a transformation that occurred within him, as can occur within all of us. And that's my belief, and it's really challenging to be in this setting, because like I said, I do respect you all, and I do respect your decision to believe these things, and it's just so confusing to me how to be in community with people who believe something that seems so radically different on one level, but then I know our hearts are all connected, and so it's really challenging for me to be in this, and I somehow found the courage to come back from my room and be here with you and be vulnerable with you in that way.
And I actually completely agree.
Whoa.
You know, just in the last session, you know, we were talking about Native American beliefs, and we were talking about Buddhist beliefs, you know, and what was running through my mind was, you know, what I'm reading is a totally different set of belief systems, and, you know, what was mentioned about being heretical is that, you know, there is this thing we're trying to understand that is beyond our comprehension, and so don't feel bad, because, you know, the more I think I know, the more I think I don't know, and, you know, all of you venues are welcome here, and the village is open to listening to all of these different ways of looking at it, because it helps each of us find it ourselves. Because I don't think there's one understanding. It just has to be an understanding that works for you.
I don't believe in the virgin birth, for example. But I still get things out of being here. So.
You're all heretics.
Yes.
So.
It's actually refreshing. So, I always get this image of God that when I'm struggling and stuff, kind of doing this kind of thing, that God just says, bring it on. Just bring it on. I love you, and I can handle all that. And so I love having these kind of discussions. And one of the things about, I think the fun thing about being part of Holden is that we are a community of people that encourages questions and encourages people with a whole diversity. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't even believe in God at all or source at all. And so it's been fun to have conversations with people who think things totally different, but they're in an environment where they want to be able to talk about that kind of stuff.
Where I always found it, I've never felt that if I say X and someone sitting next to me comes with Y, that they think any less of me as a human being because I'm on the X path and they're on the Y path.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe both those paths converge somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still respected as a human being on the X path.
Mm-hmm.
Although I sometimes do resent, because I feel that, or I hear that they put me in a box, that if I'm Christian, if I am whatever, this is what I believe, and no one, I don't even always know, no one really knows the depths or the complexity of what I believe.
But we're all supposed to believe the same thing.
Well, I just rankle sometimes that, and Christian is really such a broad word. I mean, think of all within that realm. And what is even what is, I mean, and we're not even defining what the Christ means for me. It's just a label.
Right.
But it puts me in a box.
Yeah.
But I think there's the world, and then there's Holden.
There's world and Holden.
And then there's Holden.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen to you at Holden, even though it's a Christian community. I mean, I just, over and over, I see Becky standing there at communion saying, all are welcome at this table. And she means atheists and Buddhists and whatever. It's
So... First of all, this is so beautiful and wonderful for folks to be able to be vulnerable, and I want to especially thank Amy for bringing the vulnerability. You didn't have to come back, and you did, and I think also, hopefully, so I'm going to push back. I'm going to be heretical with you. I don't think Holden is as good at this as you all are saying it is, because we have to be in this little circle here to talk about it. And I don't think it's like on Holden or anything, but I think it's because it's so delicate. I mean, we're talking about like such important stuff, and it's deeply at the heart of ourselves, and that there's, what I'm advocating for is the ability to talk about it and to let ourselves be community and hold each other in love as we talk about those kinds of things. And I don't think it would be healthy if we all believed in the same thing. I think, and I think that the diversity within our community is what makes it beautiful. And I think what should happen is that there's a commitment to be able to do it with love and gentleness, knowing that diversity is valuable. You know, so I've been listening and trying to just throw up a few things that were kind of key that came up. Some of them came from Amy, and some came from others. But is there anything else up here that, you know, what are some of the other elephants in the room or in the church or at Holden And what would be also something that we could think about even within Christianity? So throw them up here.
Lately, I've been thinking that belief systems are beyond just beliefs about the afterlife and about how to be good people. It's about thinking the same way as a group of people or as a society. And that can be a very powerful tool for authority figures. Catholic Church wanted people to all think the same so that it could squeeze money out of them to build their churches and their palaces and so on. And now in Iraq, these Islamic fundamentalists are attempting to force conversions, and that's the same thing. You get people to think the same way as you, they're more predictable, more pliable, easier to control. And I think Holden and our society at large is that much stronger because we're not ruled by that kind of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
We have flexibility and people who can look at things from different points of view and at different levels.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Back to your story and Peter's response to it, I always listen to what's inside me for any decision. So if someone of authority is telling me the opposite and my inside, I go by what's in me, not by what's the outside authority, whether it's a pastor or a teacher or anything else. And there aren't very many places. I think Holden is the most accepting place I've ever been of that. I tend to run into, that's not a very acceptable thing in this world.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know, one thought about Holden, too, is, talking about the forced conversions, it's very difficult if half the people don't have your value system and maybe even are wicked and choose those types of things. So, there needs to be like a system to judge whether or not people are good or bad. But at Holden, I think the majority, if not everyone that comes here, is fundamentally good and going in the right direction, so there's really no need for correction or things like that. People don't go running around beating people up or stealing or that sort of thing. And so that you end up with all these people that are going kind of in the right direction, which opens up a huge more amount of freedom to explore and come back to the group. And I also think that, I learn as much just by talking to people and hearing their experiences, but at the same time, somebody might share something that's perfectly profound to them, and it makes absolutely no sense to me. And that's just because, each person is in a different place.
I think we have to recognize that a lot of the how we form our belief systems, how we express ourselves is culture-based. And so we can't be completely open here. We're white, we're mainly Midwestern, we're not pushed in the way that we would be in a different setting. We choose to come here and we all kind of are alike in many ways. So I don't think we have that capacity to make as individuals go back out and whatever, but here we're enforcing each other. I think that's part of the attraction is that it feels safe because we're a lot alike. We may have a lot of different ways of expressing our belief, but a lot of it, we're pretty much from the same culture.
So we'll do a couple more, then I'm going to try to get us, move us along here somewhere. So people who haven't had a chance to say something.
I was thinking, jumping off of that, a previous director here once called Holden the most remote gated community in the world.
Mm.
And I think about that all the time. Like you're saying, we're pretty privileged to be able to be here. We have some pretty similar backgrounds and things. But it's, above all, it's, I mean, it's very, we're very lucky to be here, be able to afford to be here, not, you know, not making normal salaries and that's a world. All of that.
And I think we're similar, but I think we're not in lots of ways too.
Who's we? The people who are here right now?
The people who are here, that there's still a lot of diversity that the way the community is now doesn't necessarily invite with curiosity to understand or to incorporate, or not incorporate, but to listen to. Because I've had conversations with some people who think very different, very differently from, but they don't feel the comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah. Well, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of closeted people here with their perspectives.
Right.
And I think what I'm inviting is, why is that?
Yeah.
And we're all so but it's great. Holden's great. Okay. I love Holden too. But I am noticing we're not like that, whatever else, whatever it is that you're saying we're not like, that you are like here. And I'm saying, why is it that you have to, why is it that we can only be that here? And why aren't we that out there?
Exactly.
And what does that say, that we have to be in our safe zone here to be able to have the conversation that we're having now and not be able to have it out there?
I'm not in my safe zone here.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So
I speak
would never
up.
Identify myself as Christian, ever, even though I'm in a Christian community. Lutheran would be much more appealing, but really I would say I'm an ethnic Lutheran because that's how I was raised. It feels comfortable to me when I'm in a church or something. I kind of say things I don't really necessarily believe at all, but the ritual of it, I kind of like. So I usually use the term ethnic Lutheran.
Sure.
When I'm not here at Holden, I don't talk about Lutheran.
And so can I join you for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So why don't you identify as Christian? Is it
well,
like
what? I don't believe in a lot.
Because you because okay because of beliefs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mainly.
Let's so spit out a few if you're willing to be so bold. So virgin birth.
That's
okay.
A big one.
All right. I'm not a Christian either. Then okay.
Okay.
Next.
like original sin. We were talking. I mean, that isn't
original sin. Okay.
Resurrection. Yeah, I don't really know.
Okay.
You know, I'm not too worried about it though.
Okay. There's a lot of people who.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm not
so resurrection. Okay.
Yeah.
So these mean that you're
right.
Christian.
And also the association of what Christian means in our society outside of here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go wear a shirt that says John 3:16 around and, you know, say that's what Christianity is, you know.
That's kind of why I brought up the question, because I think in lots of ways that's what the definition is of Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually need to be reminded of what that is. John 3:16, the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
So that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Okay.
Right.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're pointing over here?
Bill had something.
Bill, okay.
It's interesting, man. I love being amongst all these heretics. What's great for me is, I was surprised to see you guys come and you also, and it's like, whoa, you know, this stuff is never spoken about, and all of a sudden you guys are invited and we're speaking about it, and I'm going, thank God. Because this is wonderful because it's giving me courage to sit within so-called a Christian community, which I used to be Christian and I no longer consider myself to be.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
The number, the teeter-totter is tilting slowly. What's happening here, Amy?
As a matter of fact, I left Holden the last time I was here. I cut my stay short because of so much Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I couldn't stand it anymore.
Too much Jesus.
Yeah, right. And I was surprised to ever find myself back here. And boy, this is great. It is interesting. What do you do once the cat gets out of the bag, though?
Yeah.
You know? Then the church will fall apart.
Can I say, you guys are up, but I'll just do a little joke. When I was in seminary, I used to, so there's all these prayers that are in our hymnals, and I used to pray sometimes, but I would end it at the end of every prayer in that book, it seems like you say this beautiful prayer, and that's it. And through Jesus, yeah. And through Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, and it was kind of like, wait, I was like, sometimes I just want to be able to pray and not have to have it be through Jesus. You know, can't the prayer come from me to God? And sometimes, this is what's interesting, because when you think about what we're exploring in John, and like what the intention of what Jesus has, what the intention of it is to help us commune with God, right? Or commune with divinity, and that because of perhaps the church, because we can sit and we can learn about what the text says, but the church has shifted from the text in such a way that it actually feels like we cannot commune with God because of what this has come to mean. And I think that's a big elephant, and that's a real tough one for the institutional church, because the institutional church is doubled down on this, right? And that this is its heart and soul. Yet it's become the one thing that makes folks not be able to feel connected. And perhaps the reason why they don't want to claim this. So I'm just saying, yeah.
Okay, I have about three things. One is, I talk this way always. I don't change how I talk here and talk there. I just find more people open to hearing it here. But I do find individuals open to it out in the world.
Amen.
I did not identify myself as a Christian when I first started coming to Holden at all. I was raised with no spirituality at all. And it's being here that I've... you know, sometimes when people ask me a Christian, I say, well, tell me your definition of a Christian. I'll tell you whether I am or not. And last, the church I go to in Seattle is United Methodist, and we do Lenten house churches. And the person's house, our Lenten house church, was at once, you know, looked around and said, okay, can we talk about the elephant in the room? Who here believes in the Trinity? And I think these conversations are not just going on at Holden. They're going on a lot of places, and the glue that holds my church together is more, it's a reconciling congregation, it's a community, it's a lot of other things rather than Jesus holding it together.
Right.
You know,
you're next. Yeah.
Christianity to me in the outside world is kind of like the Jerry Falwell, you know, the fall from grace, you know, some guy, you know, takes all this money and then runs off, you know, and stuff like that. So that's what the word like Christianity, and of course you watch television and they go, Christianity, you know, like the newsman says something, you know, it's like they're saying that people that are spiritual, I mean, and that's the type of thing that I get out in the outside world. Of course, no TV here is good for me because I don't like watching it anyways, you know. But there was one more thing, and I totally lost it, so I'll pass.
When it comes back to you?
I just wanted to say to Kirsten that everything you say about yourself resonates with me. I'd say I'm ethnically Lutheran, too. I was
like
raised in the church. I don't go to church now. I don't believe in those things that you don't believe in. I would add that I don't believe in the divinity of Christ, either. I think...
Oh God, we're losing another one!
Okay, but despite all that, at some level I still consider myself a Christian because I believe in the teaching. I believe in the Christian way of life. I think it's a good way to live. I have very deep admiration for people who live that way and use it as a code by which to live their lives and help others.
All right.
One more thing.
Oh, okay. Quick.
You know, early in my life, I was raised, my dad's an ELCA minister, so I was raised in the church, and then I kind of moved all the way away from that. I didn't believe in any of this stuff, and I kind of went all the way to the edge and totally abandoned my faith. Don't do that. And then I, you know, was... very powerful spiritual experiences, you know, got my attention, and I started moving back the other way. And I can truly say the best times in my life when I was closest to my faith, and the worst times in my life when I was far away from it. And so now I have this deep understanding of my faith, you know, actually, me and my dad were like totally diametrically opposed at one point, and now we're like almost right on top of each other as far as our beliefs and stuff like that.
Right. And I think some people probably heard you say faith, and I'm sure someone here were like, oh, well, then I'm not sure if I'm connecting with you. And I know that you consider yourself Gnostic in the sense that you have a sense of feeling like you are communing, that God speaks. And, you know, in some circles, that would be considered heretical, right? And in other circles, it's considered a way of really being able to engage in perhaps the Johannine community that we are uplifting in the Gospel of John. So when you say faith, this is another thing. It's like, what the heck are you talking about there, right? This is a word that we don't have very well explained. There's no real definition to that. So, and that when you are close to your faith, like what does that mean to be close to your faith? You know, one might even say to just be trying to have an awareness of yourself in the midst of what is, right? That could be faith. I don't know. So I'm just saying that you were sharing, and I was reacting to what you were saying, and I was wondering if other people might too. But this is a tough one for me because, especially in Lutheranism, because it's all in a way. It's the but. God loves you, but you gotta have faith. And it's like, well, what is that? What does that mean? So there's a lot of ways of talking about it, but the one that's real popular right now is response. That you gotta. Like, if you really want to be in the world, you got to respond. You got to be present in it. And it's actually the people who think of faith as kind of a, like, you just believe it. Even if you don't believe in the virgin birth, just believe it. Just deal with it. Get over it, you know? Don't think about it too much. Just believe, then you go to heaven, you know? Have faith. So, and it's getting over that kind of concept and saying, no, if it's a response, it means that you're going to then say yes to life, yes to that there's no buts about love, and that you get to respond in love in return. And life is about loving in return, loving what you've been given, doing the best you can at it. You're going to fail along the way. That's a way of being able to explore our Lutheran perspective of this mantra, by grace through faith. Otherwise, it can be real tough if it's a, you know, you better, other, you know. So, okay. So we got all the stuff on the board. We've got 5 minutes. So one of the ideas was to try to do some heretical orthodoxy with something, and it sounds to me like maybe Christian itself is just one that we can do because there's a lot here, but. So I'm the Reverend Anders Peterson, okay? I've been through the mill to get ordained, and my commitment, I'm trying to state my authority here.
State my authority, I love it.
My commitment. And I told the people along the way, my fidelity is not to the ELCA. My fidelity is not to the Lutheran Church. My fidelity is to the gospel. And to me, the gospel is what we're doing right now. It's helping to bring out the good news. And the good news is what we've been talking about all week. And, you know, I want to tell you, you are loved, and you are awesome, and you're amazing as you are. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And since the beginning of it all, there was love, and you are in the midst of it. And I give thanks for you each being here in this place, and for our time to be together. And don't feel like you gotta be anything else, but more of who you are, who the divine is calling you to be. And if it means letting go of this a little bit because of all the labels that you can't identify with, that's okay. My challenge, though, and the one that I'm taking on as the Reverend, is to reconstruct. I love to deconstruct. Oh, I want to join you guys. Yeah. You know, you know, I've been there. I've gotten B's on papers because I said things that you're not supposed to say. It's like, well, that was a good point, but you're supposed, this is the doctrinal perspective, and you need to adhere to it, and you need to perpetuate that. Those days are done, you know, and if we're gonna think that that's the future of the church, of how to express what is at the heart of all of this, it's gonna be a tough, we're not receptive to it in the way that we used to be. So I believe that there is a way to claim this again. And I believe a lot of it is connected to seeing where divinity can be found in a way that's tangible for us to understand. That can be found in even just the idea. You know, we can try to engage in facts, and we've got someone who spent a lifetime trying to get into the facts. But even at the end of the day, even after decades of study, there's still just not that much to know. Right? We only know what we know. We have our experience and the story of those who have come before us. So this is theology. Just the idea of God among us and in humanity, in a human, there is life to be found there because we get to see the character of God. And the character of God that I see in this figure is pretty, pretty powerful. What it means to, and that if the teaching says that I am to be, just as Jesus is with God, I am with Jesus, and if I am trying to live into what it means to be someone following this way of being in the world, I am living authentically into this type of life. And someone who calls me a heretic for doing it that way versus having it all be about the systematic theology, about the dominant Christian narrative, you know, then call me a heretic. You know, I'm okay with that. But I know that perhaps what I'm trying to do is to re-engage with perhaps even the way that the early Christians were trying to live into to this this mystery of God among us, and to follow that and to receive life in the teachings. So in a way what I'm advocating for is deconstruct, say what you don't believe, and be honest and open about it. But if you can, then try to ask yourself what it is that you do believe. What does matter to you? And when you engage in the sacred text, what life is to be found there, and how can you engage in that? And at the end, know that God is love, and it's in the Bible. God is love. And that love abides in all. So.
Well, what you're saying is reminding me of, after I started coming to Holden, having never read the Bible, I tried to read the Bible, and I couldn't read the Bible. So I went at it sideways and started reading, like, Stephen Mitchell's The Gospels According to Jesus. And Stephen Mitchell is a Jewish Buddhist writing about Jesus. And I could read that and his perspective. Yeah. And now I can read the Bible, but it's with a lot of Native American and a lot of people like Stephen Mitchell and all that behind it, and so I can read it differently than when I just sat down and read the Bible.
Yeah, maybe what's needed is a little bit of a list of those kind of, Amy's been reading a lot of Wendell Berry.
Oh, I love Wendell Berry.
I love
him. Yeah, you know, finding ways to, finding people who you know, some rhythm into things that you can connect with, you know.
I run the bookstore. You want to give me a book list?
Sure. I think.
He already went through the entire contents of the library and has a.
Yeah, I will be honest. I went and sat and I looked at all the books in the library. I can tell you where most of the books actually are on the shelves because it's important to, you know, books are knowledge. And
do we have the prophet?
What's it?
Do we have the prophet?
The book, The Prophet? I don't remember seeing that one.
Used to.
Yeah. So our time is getting close to up. I think that it's important if and how about how about we allow anyone who has some, like, if is anyone unsettled and, like, wants to just claim, like, something doesn't feel right or sit right? Because what's happening here is that we're both acknowledging our challenges, and sometimes in that it can also stir up stuff because we feel where other people feel uncomfortable, we feel comfortable. And that I think that it's important that it's okay to know that wherever you are, it's okay to be where you are. So I'm just wanting to make space.
I also might note that, you know, Jesus was considered a heretic too. So.
No. Oh, yeah. Did he get killed for being that heretic? Or? Yeah. Real quick, we didn't get a chance to get into it, but this is a big one for me that I think one of the main things that I'm wanting to be an evangelist for is to get rid of it's to talk about the violence that is so, there's just a lot of violence in our way of articulating the narrative, the dominant narrative. And one thing that has been very life-giving to me was to think that Jesus didn't die for the sins of the world, but Jesus died because of the sins, the systematic sins. And if you think about a lot of the people who have been movers and shakers trying to change the system, those people have been killed for their voice. And that, what does it mean that if Jesus is to take on the character of God, that Jesus then lived out that way of being in connection with divinity and being so true to what it means to love and to be beaming love into the world, even in a small kind of part of the world. I mean, it was just a little, you know, up in Galilee, and, you know, just as soon as he got in Jerusalem, you know, into the big city, it got crazy, right? And that he was willing to do that even unto death, and to state, and that's why Jesus is Jesus and can be this lens to divinity, because Jesus did it unto death. I'm going to be bearing love, caring for the marginalized, siding with those who are oppressed. I'm going to open myself up to care for people even outside of the religious experience that I was raised in, and love and bring life to that. I love the story of the woman at the well, and that she was loved and empowered to be who she was, and she's the one who converted more people than anybody else. You know, it's pretty cool. But that even unto death, Jesus lived out that vision. And that's the I mean, it's intense, but that's the glory of the crucifixion, that it was so true, so pure, that even unto death, Jesus stayed true to being with God and
but
God's
did he?
Vision for the world.
Why have you forsaken me? Last words, Mark.
I'm going to leave that one to Hal.
Well, the next Tuesday.
Yeah, this is...
And maybe that...
So you have to stay.
Yeah.
But maybe that's similar to your story.
I love it.
Coming to the person and trying to convince them not to take care. She goes, no, I still need to do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it got
crazy
left.
The night before.
I'm going to leave it to all of us to explore them. I've got ideas, but and we maybe we can share them at dinner, but I want to be mindful of our time. I just want to acknowledge that we think about this, sometimes we think about these kind of experiences as being holden experiences. And I'm encouraging us to be able to be evangelists for how we are trying to wrestle with what we have, with tradition and knowledge and science and community, with the sacred texts that we have received that tell the story of people wrestling with God, and that perhaps just the wrestling or the engaging is to be faithful, is to be someone trying to be on the way of engaging in relationship with what is beyond, you know, what is more, what is mystery at its heart. And if it's mystery, it's always going to be mostly just exploring questions that we might not have complete answers to, or maybe no answers to. So, I mean, that's not, we need to start being open about that's maybe exactly where we should be. And if you think that you're supposed to be anywhere else, I don't know how much power I do have, but as someone who can say I'm a reverend, I'm saying it's okay. I don't know what that means, but... So with that, I thought maybe we could just end with a moment of prayer together. Anything else?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. God be with you.
And also with you.
Blessed be creation. Blessed be mystery. Blessed be the mystery of God among us. Blessed be questions. Blessed be conversation. Blessed be response to unwavering, abounding love. Blessed be Holden Village. Blessed be all who are gathered here. Blessed be the gift that is life, the messiness that life is, and the beauty of it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.